Okay, the Mishnah tells us in the end of the third paragraph of Avos, Kinen Episkei Nida, Hein Hein Gufei Halachos. Because the Mishnah comments in the end of paragraph Gimel of Yisodei HaTorah, that what the Mishnah in Avos is telling us is that even though the subject matter Meseches Nida is what he calls a Davar Mechuar, by which he means something that is not usually a matter of public discourse, nevertheless, the schar for learning Meseches Nida is Meruba, and it's something that is commendable and advisable. In that spirit, Be'ezras Hashem, we will embark on our journey through learning Hilchos Nida this year. There are two parashiyos in the Torah. Yeah. It is being recorded. As I said at the beginning, before everyone walked in, if there's anyone who could volunteer to be an official recorder after today, that would be helpful. Please let me know. Does anyone have a chumash? I meant to bring a chumash with me. Great, thank you. So in the end of Parshas Metzorah, we'll start with a little bit of Chumash, which is important for a Jew to know. The end of Parshas Metzorah, we have two Parshios. One is the Parsha of Nida, one is the Parsha of Ziva. Now, practically, as we'll see, there isn't much of a distinction bizmanenu, in that we kind of blend Nida and Ziva, as we'll see, but it's important to know what the Din D'oraisa is so we can understand what the Tanakhan Sachamim is working off of. So the pasuk tells us in the end of Parshas Metzorah, V'isha ki siyeh zava, dam yeh zava bivsara, shivas yamim tiyeh binidasa, v'chol nogeya v'yidma ad ha'aref. So the first parsha is that of a nida. And when it comes to nida, and zava for that matter, there are three issues that present themselves. Number one, there's the tumah context. The tumah context breaks into two, that a nida herself is an avatoma, and dam hanida is an avatoma. And then there's the isser of a nida labayla, which is expressed in Parsha Sachrema. So most of our focus in Hilchos Nida is about the isser labayla, but we'll see there is interplay between the isser labayla and certain elements of Tara. So the Torah tells us here that a woman who is a nida, ishaki siyazava dam yazava bitsara, means a what we call a nida. The din is that a nida, even if she only sees one re'iyah, even if she only sees dam on one day, she is soferes shiva yamim. She has to count 7 days, including the day of re'iyah, and then she is toveles the night after that 7 day count. Meaning that even if a woman sees dam on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, as long as she is masik b'tayra before the end of day 7, as long as she stops the Re'iyas dam and is clean by the end of the 7th day, then her period of nidos is over, and then she can be toveles and become muteres le'baila. The Gemara tells us in our Masechta Samach Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rav Nida Bizmana Eina Toveles Ela Belaila. The din of nida, as opposed to zavas, we'll see, is that a nida is toveles at night. Rashi there says, Yitziv Ba Tiyeh Benidasa Tehe Benidasa Kol Shiva. So she has to have 7 complete days of nidus, and after the completion of those 7 days of nidus, she is able to be tavelas, and that tefila is mitar her levaila, mitar le'tairas as well. Now, the Torah doesn't explicitly tell us that a nida needs to be tavelas. In fact, if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Memzayin Amud Beis, the Gemara there has, if you count between Tosfos and the Tosfos Yishayim on the page, there are, I think, 5 days in Gaon and the Bali Tosos, quoted there in Tosos, as to what the makor is for Tfilas Nida. It definitely is a requirement in the Notari, we learn out either from a Kavachom or from Sukkim, but there are multiple days in Rishonim as to what the precise source is. But anyway, you slice it, Nida min Hatari is Tavelas Balaila after the completion of 7 days of Nidas, as long as she is clean by the end of those 7 days. Then the Torah tells us in the next parasha here, V'isha ki yazov zov dama yamim rabim. If a woman has a flow of dam for many days, Tanchuma comments on the lashon of yamim rabim, as we'll see, a zav gadol is only 3 days. So why does the Torah use the term yamim rabim? So Tanchuma comments that as far as the emotional state of a woman who is asur labayla, even if it's only for 3 days, that is, in her mind, Yamim Ravim, in her mind, a long period of time. But be that as it may, So if a woman sees Dam Yamim Rabim below Es Nidus, not during the period of Nidus, not during the expected time, Ochi Sazuv Al Nidasa, Koyime Zov Tumasa, Kime Nidasa Tia Tumeyahi. So a Zava, presumably, this is what the Ramban explains in the end of Parshas Mitzara, a Zava is akin to a Zav in the sense that her flow, her re'iyah, is something abnormal, something that's a function of some kind of illness. It's not the expected time to see dam, and therefore there's something wrong, just like a zav is someone who has multiple re'iyahs of zera, which is a function of some kind of illness. So the din of a zava min hatara is that if she is ro'eh 1 day or 2 days, she is Shameris Yom Keneged Yom. Shameris Yom Keneged Yom means that if she sees a dam on Sunday, if she only sees dam briefly on Sunday morning, she can be Masik B'Tara, and then be Toveles on the next day, on Monday, as long as there has been an observance of a Mixas Yom Kekula of Monday, as we'll explain in a few moments. So a person who has Re'iyas Ziva on 1 or 2 days is Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, which means that she can then go to the mikvah on the following day. If it's a re'iyah of 1 day, she can go on the second day. If it is a re'iyah of 2 days, she can go on the third day. And that's what's called a Zava Kitana. A Zava Gedola is someone who sees Dam on 3 days during the period of Ziva. And the din is that a Zava Gedola has to count Shiva Nikiyim, has to count 7 clean days. So if she sees Dam for days 1, 2, and 3, she then on day 4 begins counting 7 clean days. And then she has to bring a korban on day 8. And the Rabban explains, the Zavah Gedola requires a korban as opposed to the Zavah Ketan as opposed to a Nida, precisely because a Zavah Gedola is recovering from some kind of illness. And just like we find by a Zav, that a Zav brings a korban, so too, a Zava brings a korban as part of, as Ramban writes, the Hisrach Usa korban, the Hisrach Usa Kedin Azav. As part of her healing process, she has to bring a korban. So, as we said, a Zava is Toveles Bayom, as opposed to a Nida who is Toveles Balel, again, all Midin Torah. A Zava is Tavela Sayom, and by Zava we invoke the halacha of Nixa Sayom Kukula, which means Min HaTorah. Again, we'll get to the Rabbanans later in the year, but Min HaTorah, a Zava is Tavela Sayom. Let's say she's a Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, so she can be Tavelas in the daytime of the second day. She sees Dam on day 1, she can be Tavelas on day 2. Yeah. What's the marker for Mixas Yom Kukula? So, the Gemara... The Gemara in Psachim Daf Pei Aleph assumes that what emerges from the Psachim here is that the field could be Bayom. And the Gemara assumes that that's because of the notion of Mixas Yom Kukula. The Gemara doesn't source it necessarily. By Avelus, it's presumably Din de Rabbanan, because according to most of you showing him, Avelus Shiva anyway is a Din de Rabbanan. The Gemara has it in Nazir Dafe in regards to Naziris, but the Gemara there assumes it as well. I don't recall the Gemara quoting the presumption based on the Tzukim as to how it operates. I don't recall if there's a unified source for all instances of Mixas Yom Kukula. And Rosh Hashanah points out, it's printed up in this piece of Vikvei Yatzar and Mixas Yom Kukula, that the Rav said that Mixas Yom Kukula was invoked, and definitely not every place where it's invoked is there an actual source. But Mixas Yom Kukula is invoked where you have a Malos, which Rosh Hashanah explains as something imposed on the calendar. So when it comes to a Zava, or it comes to Delos, or it comes to Yemei Hesker of Mitzora, these are not things that are naturally on the calendar. These are things that are imposed onto the calendar based on a personal count. So Shefka says that explains Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Asman Daraisa in the Asman Daraisa, Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gilyone Hashas Nazir Daf A. I think today is Nazir Daf Gimel, so in 2 days Daf Yom will get up to Daf A. So there the Gemara raises Mixos Yom Kippur in the context of Nazirus, and Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes on the Ramami Panu, who asks, why do we say Nixus Yom Kikulo on Shabbos? Why do we have to keep half a day Shabbos? We have to keep the whole day. So that's the real half Shabbos. So why do you say Nixus Yom Kikulo? So you don't have to keep Shabbos half of the day. So the Ramami Panu answers over there that we don't say Nixus Yom Kikulo by something positive. You say Nixus Yom Kikulo by something that you want to get rid of. You want to get rid of Avelis, you want to get rid of the status of Mitzvah, you want to get rid of Ziva. These are all negative things. But Shabbos is Kedusha, so you don't want to get rid of something that has Kedusha. And Yosef Engel asks a question that doesn't necessarily explain Naziris, at least according to one day in Tanaim. You have a machlokas whether is another considered a choser or not, but if you assume not like Reb Elazar Kapper Beribi, you assume that a Nazir is a Kulo Kadosh, and it's not considered a chote, so that doesn't fit into this notion of Mitzvot Yom Kikulo only for things you want to get rid of. So Rav Shachter says from the Rav that this Malos idea explains that also. The Naziris is also imposed on the calendar. Anything imposed on the calendar could be subject to Mitzvot Yom Kikulo. So let's just summarize. So what we've seen so far is as far as the difference between a Zava Gedola and a Nida Minotara, is that a Zava Gedola needs to count Shiva Nakiyam, that after she finishes seeing Dan, she has to count another 7 days, and only after those clean 7 days can she bring a Korban and be a Mutaras Levaila. A Zava Gedola is supposed to need that brings a Korban. And also, by Azava, Tefillah is Bayom, invoking the notion of Mixus Hayom Kikulo, as opposed to a Nida, where Tefillah is Balayla. Okay. If you have a Gemara Nida in front of you, on the Samach Zayin of an Aleph, there's a long Rashi here on the top, Dibur Maslam Mikvos Bimei Nisan. If you look at the last couple lines in that Rashi, Rashi quotes the following, Yesh Mefarshim, Devi'inan mayim chayim l'zava. Yesh mefarshim, which is the shita sagaonim, that a zava needs to be tavelas in mayim chayim, meaning a mayim. Now, the difference between a mikveh and a mayim is mikveh is ashbarin, it's stagnant water. A mayim is flowing water. So a zav needs to be tovel in a mayim. So this shita sagaonim, quoted by Rashi, says that a zava, like a zav, needs to be tovelas b'mayim chayim b'mayim. Rashi says, "V'la milsehi." That can't be. D'tanya b'tosefta chomer b'zav mi b'zava shazav tov mayim chayim. So there, in Megillah, where you have in our Mishnayos Megillah, we have all the eight veins, and the parallel tosefta says that the there's a chumra of zav over zava that a zav requires a mayim, and a zava can be tovelas b'mikvah. So Rashi says this shita sagaonim is against a tosefta. Nevertheless, if you look, for example, in the Margolius Sayan in Sanhedrin Pei Zayin, since we're learning Sanhedrin Yeshiva this year, Sahi there quotes a long list of various editions of various Shuvah Sagonim where this position is indeed recorded. In fact, if you look at Rashi himself, Rashi in other places in Shas gives more credence to this Shita. If you look in that Sayan, Pei Zayin of an Aleph in Sanhedrin, Dibur Maskel Hilchos Yud Aleph, Rashi writes, "V'imrasa shlosha yamim ritzufim." If a woman sees 3 straight days of dam, havya ziva lekorban uletfilas mayim chayim. She has the status of a zava, nafkamina for a korban, and nafkamina that she has to be toveles v'mayim. So Rashi there quotes as the normative position this shita sagaonim. Now, if you look at the Rishash there tries to mend the girsa. He says instead of Tevilas Mayim Chayim, it should say Tzfiras Zayin Nekiyim, which obviously looks just like Tevilas Mayim Chayim. So that's the Rishash's attempt. But if you look around, this Shita does have some currency. In fact, the Margolius Sayan there quotes as well, just as a collector's item, Bar Mokom, that in the Sefer Harpardes, which is Miuchas Tarashi, he writes that a Kala requires tevila b'mayim chayim before knisasa l'chofa. That's just a interesting line. If you look at the Ramban in the end of Parashat Mitzora again, the Ramban there says that al derech hapshat, it should have been the case that a zava requires tevila just like a zav. Nevertheless, it's not the normative halacha. He quotes the Tosefta in Megillah, And he has this super drasha from the pasuk of the Achar Titar, that the Torah is coming to tell us that the Tahara of a Zava is distinct from the Tahara of a Zaf. So the Ramban acknowledges that Al Derech HaPshat would have assumed that a Zava's Tahara process has to mirror that of a Zav to require a Mayan, but Lahalacha, that is not the case, and he has a pasuk that he thinks indicates as much. One more marmaka midivrei harishonim here of note. There's a radak in Zechariah, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Aleph, where the pasuk says, "Vayomahu yiyem mekor niftach lebeis David," that there'll be some extra new source of water, b'mos hamashiach. And the radak there writes, "Va'az yetz umayim chayim ba'ir," there will be a fresh spring of water, a fresh source coming out of Yerushalayim. And they won't have to leave Yerushalayim, they won't have to leave the city limits in order to have Mayim Chayim for Mechatas. As well, for a Zava who requires Mayim Chayim, you won't have to leave the city limits, you'll be able to have access to a Mayim in Yerushalayim proper. So just to present a couple of suggestions to explain the Shita Sagaonim, even though it's not la halacha, if you look in the Netziv in the Merome Sada in our Sugya here, Samach Zayid in Mesachas Nida, and there's a parallel, otherwise unpublished letter or tshuva in the Netziv, which the Margolis Sayam quotes as a marmaka. I looked it up. There's this small sefer called Roe Yeshurin, which is published in 1894. Here's a copy of the Sharblat. It is a sefer including hespedim that were given for the following four individuals: the Netziv, the Beis Halevi, Rabbi Shul Kutner, so far so good, and Moses Montefiore. So that's this sefer Roe Yisrael for hespedim. And in the Hakdamah to that sefer, he quotes a letter that the Netziv wrote to the Mechaber of this work, the editor. But basically, the content is included in as well in the Merame Sada in our Sugya here. So Netziv suggests that Mayim Chayim in the Shita Sagonim doesn't mean a Mayim per se. What it means is that you can't have water which is affected, which is changed by an action of man. That you need to have cold water. You can't have water that was heated up because mayim shenishtanu ayde maisa adam would be pasul for tefilas zava. Based on local halachos in Hilchas Paraduma, where that may be the case. And he points out that even though, again, we don't assume this way la halacha, but the reason that one could distinguish between the tefilah standard for a Zava and the Tefillah standard for a Nida is, as we noted earlier, Tefillah Zava is in the Furish Bakra, as opposed to Tefillah Nida, which is learned from various Sukkim or Limudim, but is not explicit in the Pasuk.
How does that help the Gemara, the Shita of the Gemara? Over there, wasn't it talking about where the river changed based on, it wasn't based on Ayde Adam?
You're talking about the Yom Nisan Gemara?
Yeah.
So the Shita, Rashi quotes the Shita's Gonin there as a afterthought, but that doesn't affect Pshat in the particular action of Shmuel that the Avil bin Sein Mikvos b'Yom Edinisan. You could learn that Gemara either way. There is a way of learning that Gemara that is referring to a Mayan or a Mikvah. To just conclude, the Aruch Laner in the Sugya here suggests that maybe, you know, the Kasha that everyone asks is that the Shita Sagonim is against the Tosefta. So he thinks maybe it's a machlokas between the Tosefta and the Gemara. Maybe the Gonim assume that it is a Tosefta, but the Tosefta is not Lalacha, because in our Gemara we don't have such an ein bein between Zav and Zava, so maybe that's a machlokas between the Mishnayis and the Tosefta. And he notes that there are there may be evidence or mashmos in a Mishnah in Mikvos, Perakei Mishnah Hey, where the Mishnah equates Tefilas Zava with Tefilas Zav. There is a Bach in Hilchos Mikvos, Simi Reish Aleph, Sekat and Beis, who references a minhaga kehilas. I don't know what kehilas he's talking about, but the minhaga kehilas somewhere in Poland, presumably during that time, where they were makbid to use a mayan for tefilas nashim, even though the Bach says that that position is not lahalacha, and we are in no way choshesh lahalacha for the shitas ha-ga'onim. The Klei Chemda in Parshas Mitzora, the last piece, Otei, has a interesting suggestion which is a corollary to the shitas ha-ga'onim. He was asked whether there's any basis to suggest that that tefilas nida is not bekaris, meaning that if a woman completes her period of nidus and she is now clean, but she doesn't go to the mikvah, that would not result in a chiyuv karis. So at first glance, that's a preposterous position. However, the Klei Chemda suggests that maybe this could explain a perplexing Rashi. Rashi in Sanhedrin, Hei Zayin HaMeveiz, in the Sugya of Zakin Mamre, the other Gemara is trying to determine what kind of hora'ah would constitute a violation on the part of a Zakin Mamre. So the Gemara there says, this past week's Parsha, Beidam Ledam, Beidam Adam Ledam Yarok. It's even that lahalacha, we assume, we'll get to this in Siman Tov Peches, that a woman is only rendered tmeya by dam that is red, as opposed to dam that is yarok, which we'll talk about it then, whether it means yellow, blue, or green. Yarok in Shas may have three different meanings. So there's the Gemara where it says, beidam ledam, beidam adam ledam yarok. The Rashi explains that the Gemara there tells us, akavid ben malalu with mitame dam yarok. So Rashi explains, what is the concern over here that the zakin marme could erroneously paskin? That if a Zakin Mamre paskins like a Kaveh ben Mahalala, the Dam Yarok is Tameh, you could have the following situation, where a woman sees day one, day two, Tahor blood, day three, day four, day five, she sees Tameh blood. And now, she's going to start, this is Bimei Nida. So if the Dam Yarok was Dam Tameh, so she starts counting her Yimei Nida from the time that she sees Dam Yarok. If the Dam Yarok is Tahor, then she starts counting the Yimei Nida from day three when she starts seeing the Dam Adam. So if the Zakin Mamre is going to erroneously paskin that Dam Yarok is Tamei, then she's going to end her period of Nidus 2 days early. And Rashi writes that the consequence of that is that for those 2 days, she is going to be potentially chayav kares, and therefore the Zakin Mamre is liable. Rashi writes, so the sof shnei yomim, the tovelas and mishameshes in baila shnei yomim biniduza. So she's going to be tovelas and mishameshes in baila for two days earlier than she should have when she's still in her period of nidus. So that's what Rashi writes there in Sanhedrin Pesayin. So the Achron are bothered. Within Rashi, if she goes to the mikveh at the end of what should be day 5 instead of day 7, then she's going to be asur labayla bukaris for much more than 2 days. She's not going to go to the mikveh again for a while. So why is Rashi saying that she's going to be, there's going to be a chiyuv karis for an extra 2 days? It could be much more than 2 days. So the Klei Chemda suggests that maybe, if you assume that the tefilas nida is not the kares, meaning the chi of kares is only for the 7-day period when she is roadam and counts the 7 days. But even if she's not tevelas, no chi of kares, then you understand potentially where Rashi is coming from. And even though that's at first glance a preposterous idea, he thinks it's more possible if you assume like the shita sagaonim, which Rashi quotes there in Amun Aleph in Sanhedrin Pesayin Amun Aleph. If you assume that the Shita Saga Onim, that there's a distinction between Tfilas Nida and Tfilas Ziva. Tfilas Ziva is B'mayan, Tfilas Nida is B'mikvah. So if the standard of Tfilas Nida is different, then after all, Tfilas Nida is not B'furish B'kra, so maybe Tfilas Nida also doesn't have an accompanying Chiyiv Karis. He says this is not Lalacha, and Rashi elsewhere is closer from this position, but as a Halacha of Lola Maisa suggested, at least on this in Rashi, the Klei Chemda makes that observation. Okay. We should just note, we may discuss this later in the year, that there is a din in achronim in terms of the nature of the iser nida levaila. Is that a conventional iser erba, or is that a unique iser that they function of her status of tumah, but it doesn't fall into the regular categories of arayas? So Yasmin Darais has a discussion about this in Simin Kafalif. He points out nafkamina as follows. Number one, do we say that a nida is bechlal yehar gval yavor? If it's one of the conventional arayas, so all the arayas are bechlal yehar gval yavor. If it's simply an iser that's an extension of tumah, so it's not necessarily yehar gval yavor, it's a different category. Let's say the din of ein davar sheba erva pachas mishlayim. In general, we assume that eight echan em bisurin, all you need is one person to testify about matters of iser. When it comes to davar sheba erva, you need two. So is nidus a davar sheba erva that would require eidus of two, or is it simply another halacha, an extension of tuma, and maybe eidus eid echad would be sufficient? Yosef Engel points out that the famous Rashi, Tosas and Gittin, Daf Beis Amid Beis, the Gemara learns out, Tosas learns out the source for Eid Achad Amid Bisurin from the Safra law of Nida. So if the whole source of Eid Achad Amid Bisurin is from Nida, that sounds like Nida is not a conventional erva. He also points out another Rashi in Gittin, Daf Vav Amid Beis. Rashi there, the Gemara says, if a person instills unwarranted fear among the members of his family, members of his household, that could lead to a violation of the big three averas. What's the application of Gilia Rice? So Rashi there explains that she's going to be afraid to say that she wasn't Tovelis. And that could lead to a violation of Gilia Rice. So that sounds like Nida is considered a classic erva. As far as the first nafkamina, the Har Gval Yavor, he also points out that this may be a machlokas mechaber amah in the end of Kuf Tzadi Hei. We'll get to Kuf Tzadi Hei, the Siman of Har Chokos. There, the mechaber paskins, as he writes in the Beis Yosef, that even b'makom pikuach nefesh, even if the a husband is a doctor and he needs to perform some kind of procedure on the makom erva of his wife, who's anita, he's not allowed to do so, even if there's a pikuach nefesh consideration. And the Rama argues. So the mechaber may be assuming that there is a yahar gval yavor component when it comes to the iser nida. Yeah.
So is that only for the husband, or meaning the status of anita being an erva?
So the mechaber there is talking about the husband. But presumably, if it is a Yehar Gval Yavor consideration, that applies to everyone else as well. Yeah.
What's the Rashi Tosafot?
Tosafot says that the Makar for Eid Achad Amid Bisurin is from the Safra of Nida. So it sounds like it's not classic Arayas, otherwise you wouldn't be talking about Eid Achad Amid Bisurin because Eid Davar Shevei Erva Pachas Mishlayim. There is potentially a way out of that.
The pasuk says,
So erva doesn't, not every time that the Torah uses the term erva, doesn't necessarily mean that it has all the status of classic arayas. So erva doesn't necessarily have to mean the Har Gval Yavor style arayas. At least that's Rabbi Yosef Engel's contention. Rav Shechter quotes in the Rav that the Rambam in Isuri Bia Peridalet Alach Aleph writes Beferish Nida Harehi Bechlau Harayos. And if you're interested further, Rav Shechter has an article that I don't think was ever republished in his Sfarim, but appears in Or HaMizrach Tishrei Tavshin Lamites on the topic of Chuppah Lepsulos, which is a Tzuvas topic and a Yevamos topic. So he expounds on this with other Marmakomos there as well. Okay. Let's try to move on to perhaps more relevant lemaisa matters. The Gemara in the very end of the Seches Tita, which you have in the Marmakamos, Ayin Beis Amid Beis, tells us that there is a notion of Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida Linida. which we assume generally is halacha mishum sinai, machlokas whether it's halacha mishum sinai or kasef. So there is a notion of yid alav yom shebein nida linida, and there here, as you hopefully saw it in the Beis Yosef, there is a machlokas between the Rambam and the rest of the world as to how do you make these calculations. So the position of Rashi and Rov Yishonim, Rashi is most explicit in Erechin and Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The position of Rashi and Rov Yishonim is that the calculation goes as follows. A woman starts with her normal Re'iyah, is Re'iyah's Nida. So a woman sees Dam at the normal time, so she is now a Nida, and she has to count 7 days, and as long as she is Matzik Betara at the end of the 7 days, she can then go to the mikvah and is absolved, removed from her Nida status. During the ensuing 11 days, after those first 7 days, if she sees any Dam, then that Dam is Dam Ziva. If she becomes the Zava Gadola, then she has to count Shiva Nekiyam. Now, if she becomes the Zava Gadola and has to count Shiva Nekiyam, so let's say she had a Re'iyas Dam on day... So we started with 7 days, and then we have 11 days. So let's say she had a Re'iyas Dam on days 12, 13, 14. And now she's going to count Shiva Nekiyam, which are days 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. And she can go to the mikvah after day 21. So if she then sees Dam the next day, then that Dam is Nidus, because you're out of the 11 days. If she sees Dam 10 days later, that Dam is Dam Nidus. The next time she has a Re'iyas Dam, that's going to be Dam Nidus. But even if her period of Ziva Gedola extends out of those 11 days, that remains a period of Ziva, and we only start the count of Nidus once that period of Zivas is complete. And, according to Rashi, we only talk about Yud Aleph Yom if there was a period of Nidus. So if this woman would go another 45 days before she sees Dam again, then on day 45, that Dam would be Dam Nida, and then only after 7 days would the Yud Aleph Yom kick in again. The Rambam's position, Perek Vav Yisurei Bia, the beginning of Perek Vav Yisurei Bia, is that a woman has to make the following calculation. If a woman sees Dam, the first time she ever sees Dam, a 12-year-old girl sees Dam, so we now begin the calculation of 7 days for Nidus. Any Dam that she sees in the ensuing 11 days is Dam Ziva, and as soon as those 11 days are over, you start the clock again with another 7 days of Dam Ziva. So according to the Rambam, you continuously have to count 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 until a woman would be a Yoledes or a Musalekes Damim and there's some life change that prevents a normal cycle from continuing. So if you give a girl as a Bas Mitzvah gift a 120-year calendar so she can mark off for the rest of her life 7-11, 7-11, 7-11. And that is, in a nutshell, Shitas HaRambam. Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, who was a Rav in Atlanta for many years and an editor of Tradition, I recall many years ago had a introductory essay in Tradition entitled 7-11, which he bemoaned the fact that the minyan that he davened in had a set schedule where every day, I forget what it was, Psuki Dezimra or Karbonos takes 7 minutes and Psuki Dezimra takes 11 minutes. But wouldn't it be nice if sometimes we could just express ourselves differently and if you feel like it will take more time to daven as appropriate. The Rambam Shita is that there's no, it's straight 7-11, 7-11 until there's some sea change that would affect the cycle. Any dam seen during the 7 days is dam nida. Any dam seen during the 11 days is dam ziva. The most extensive explanation or attempted explanation for Shitas HaRambam that I'm aware of is in the Aruch HaShulchan. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in the beginning of, in most of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, he has an Arichas explaining at least possibilities as to where the Shitas HaRambam comes from. There are many Gemaras that are mashma against the Rambam. The Aruch HaShulchan points out certain Gemaras that may be mashma like the Rambam. Lahalacha, we don't accept the Rambam, so we're not going to spend too much time on explaining it in this forum. But if you want to take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, it is a worthwhile read. Okay. So now we'll begin to move on to what exactly constitutes our current practice of calculating Cheshbonos of Riyah Stam. So the Gemara, we're not going to have time to get too far, but let's just start with the Gemara. If you look on Samach Vav Amin Aleph, the Gemara has the following. It's towards the end of the short lines. Amar of Yosef, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Rav. Hiskin Rebbe Bisados. Rebbe made the following takana Bisados. What does it mean, Bisados? Rashi writes, Makom She'ein B'nei Torah, a place where the residents were Amaratzim. The Einan Yodos Limnos Pesach Nidos. And the women were not sufficiently well versed, sufficiently educated to be able to identify the beginning of a period of Nidos. So Rebbe made a takana to account for a situation where the women were not able to easily identify what is the period of Ziva and what is the period of Nida. So this is potentially one Gemara that may point to the Rambam's camp, that you better understand according to the Rambam how you could lose track of your 7-11 counts, which you have to keep track of for years. With Rashi's calculation of Yud Aleph Yom Shevei Nida L'Nida, it's easier to keep track, but still, one could lose track of that as well, so it's definitely not a raya, but something to take into consideration. So anyway, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that Rebbe was misakein in the sados, in areas where there are people who are not sufficiently B'nai Torah. Rasa Yom Echad Teshev Shisha Vahu, that if a woman sees Dam on one day, she has to wait for that day plus an additional 6 days. What would you have said? What should the calculation have been? So if she only sees Dam for one day, if she's a Zava, so what should the din be? She has to wait until the next day. If she's a Nida, right. So Rebbe's takana was that even if a woman thinks that she's a Zava, you have to be machmir to treat yourself as a Nida, to wait for 7 days, because maybe these people who are not B'nai Torah could get confused between Yemei Ziva and Yemei Nida. So that's step one. And then, Shnayim Teshev Shisha Vehe. And then, if a woman sees 2 days, she has to wait for an additional 6 days for a total of 8 days. So let's do the math again. If she's a Zava during those 2 days, so she's a Zava Ktana, and you wouldn't have to wait at all. What's the concern? If she was a Nida, then what would you say? Sorry?
She sees 2 days in a row.
She sees 2 days in a row, so how many days does she have to count?
If she's a
Nida
day one,
then
she's not
even
counting the days.
Right.
If she's a Nida
day one. Right. So what's the concern here? So look at Rashi. Shnayim teshev shisha v'hei l'chumra shema rishon sov zov. Then maybe the dam that she saw on day one was the end of the period of Ziva. V'sheni tchilas Nida. And the dam on day two is day one of Nidus. V'tzricha od shisha. And that's why she needs another 6 days. Look at Tosos. Tosos has a different shot. Shnayim teishiv shisha shemen rasa yom rishon dam yorok ve'eno min aminyan. Maybe day one is dam yorok, maybe it's dam tahor, it doesn't count at all. If you look in the Ramban quotes, without quoting, attributing them, but the Ramban has both Rashi and Tosfos' calculation blended together. And then, shlosha teishiv shiv nakiyim. If she sees 3 days, so we're concerned that maybe she's a zava gedola, and then you have to count shiv nakiyim. I think the time is up. We will, Amir Hashem, resume this discussion Thursday at 3 p.m.